Film and TV reviewer Chris Schultz is here to look at a few, well, as much as we can squeeze in, really. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good, Lynn. How are you?
Oh, it's another day, another press conference from Parliament, really. Where do you want to start? You've got three stories. We'll try and squeeze them in if we can.
Well, let's start with Lennox Hill, because we're continuing with the theme of health and COVID-19. Lennox Hill is a small hospital set. It's in Manhattan, New York, which was obviously the epicentre of the COVID-19 outbreak for a while. It's the subject of a nine-part Netflix documentary. Now, the first eight episodes were filmed pre-COVID-19. And the reason I found out about the show was because I walked in one night, came home, and our babysitter was watching this, and I thought it was another hospital drama like ER or House or Shortland Street or whatever. But it's not. It's actually a documentary. These are real doctors. It's a real hospital. And it's kind of paced like a drama show. So, you know, each episode starts off with patients, you know, finding out what's happened to them, and they kind of follow through with them each episode. It's a very gory show. This does not hold back from the nitty-gritty details of surgery. You will see, you know, brain surgery and necks opened up, and it can be a bit icky. But they're not the bits that make the show great. They're not the bits that stay with you. What stays with you are the in-between bits. You see doctors really, you know, struggling with, you know, what's happened with some of their patients. You see them really struggling under workloads, and you see the intricacies of the relationships in the hospital and the politics. It's a fascinating show, but the episode that really stands out is the last one, and that's the one that was filmed during COVID-19. I watched this last night, and it has to be one of the most heartbreaking half hours of television I've ever seen. It's a snapshot of what happened, what's been happening around the world. You know, it's in the epicenter, like I said, of a hospital in New York that was struggling to hold on during the peak time of this pandemic there. And, you know, you see them building the ramps for them to wheel out the bodies, and you see doctors just at breaking point. And it's a rough watch. And I, you know, some people might not be ready to see this. It's probably too close to home, but as you know, when we look back on this, that might be like the crucial kind of, you know, marker of this moment.
A reminder of what hopefully we might have escaped too.
Yeah.
I guess when we look at it from our perspective, yeah.
Absolutely.
I May Destroy You on Neon. I've got to say, I watched the first part of this and I just couldn't get into it. So persuade me why I need to give it another go.
Yeah, this I felt the same. It's a weird show. It's such a strange mix. It's part, I was trying to just work out how to describe it. It's part Issa Rae's HBO show Insecure. It's got kind of a Broadchurch kind of detective thing about it in future episodes. And then also it's got that tech thing. So it's a little bit Black Mirror. But what it really does is it announces the arrival of an incredible talent, Michaela Cole. She's the writer and star of the show. The camera loves her. I mean, her facial expressions, her pink hair, she lights up the screen. And yeah, you do have to stay with it. This takes a few episodes to get into the swing of things. What it's about is her character. She's a writer. At the end of episode one, she goes out for a night, and she ends up getting drugged and assaulted. And she's trying to piece together what happened to her in future episodes. But it's such a weird, I mean, writing a comedy about an assault like that is such a fine line, and she walks it so well. You know, there are moments that are funny. There are moments that are, you know, heartbreaking. It's kind of perfectly poised to deal with the post-Me Too Weinstein world, I think. You know, there are no kind of black and white guidelines to what the show is. I mean, episode three is completely different to the first two. It's the episode that made me fall in love with the show. Again, it's not for the faint of heart. It's quite raunchy, quite rude. It's quite out there, but once you stick with it, I think once you get what she's doing, you can see why people are calling it. I mean, I've heard people call it the best show of the year so far, and I'm not quite there yet, but I can see why they would. And I also think comparisons to Phoebe Waller-Bridge and her success with Fleabag are probably going to happen to Michaela thanks to the show.
I know you can do it in about 2.5 minutes. Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga, which I have watched. If you knew me better, you'd know this is so not me. But I laughed.
Eurovision is just the greatest award show. I was an online entertainment editor for 20 years and I loathed the Oscars and the Emmys and the Golden Globes. They were so pompous. Eurovision is the European song contest. They have it once a year and it's just this incredible place where the most amazing schmaltz and cheesy ballads and just the most incredible things happen there. I love putting together wraps of things like, you know, the 10 best things that happened at Eurovision because it's such a crazy award show. This movie is Will Ferrell's attempt to kind of honour it, I think. I'm glad he didn't mock it completely because that would have really turned me off. He's playing an Icelandic singer who, thanks to a horrible accident and all the Icelandic contestants or contenders for Eurovision die, he ends up going with his girlfriend and competing, and they're not very good. This is kind of follows the typical Will Ferrell formula of an underdog comedy, but it's got, you know, the music. Did you think the music was good? I thought the music was pretty good, and I think that's what makes a movie like this work. It's when the songs are funny and keep the plot going. The plot's quite threadbare, but you know, Will Ferrell's got great hair in it, so you
know, that music scene when they're at the Eurovision Song Contest and all the contestants sing out, I think it's a mashup, isn't it, of ABBA and others. I actually thought that was rather wonderful.
Genius, yeah. And that's the kind of thing they should chuck on YouTube because I think that'll pull more viewers in. It's well done. They also, crucially, they use actual contestants from Eurovision. Conchita Wurst, the bearded lady who controversially won a few years ago and sparked a lot of headlines, is in this. There's Pierce Brosnan shows up in Demi
playing
Lovato's.
The dad.
Yeah.
He's rather good, isn't he?
He's great. Demi Lovato plays one of the better contestants in this. Look, if this had gone to the movies, I think that would have been an issue. It probably would have bombed, and Will Ferrell's had a few of those lately. We talked about Downhill last time, which was really quite bad. This isn't peak Will Ferrell, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good, Will Ferrell, and it's on Netflix, so it's an easy hour and a half watch.
Well, I've been to Iceland a few years ago, actually, and I know Húsavík and loved it there, so that added something to me. Thank you very much. That is our screen reviewer, Chris Schultz. Thank you so much for your company today.